We're just going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to continue this series. It's called Beliefs and Behaviours. So over the next few weeks, we're looking at what do we believe and how should that affect how we behave. There was a kind of bottom line last week. Today we're going to look at the image of God, hence the video that we watched. The bottom line last week is behaviours are birthed in beliefs. All the things that we do are birthed in what we actually believe, what we believe to be true. And we see lots of behaviours in the world, and some are good and some are not good. But it's birthed in what we believe. If we believe that somebody from another tribe, they could be a different religion from us, they might look different from us, if we believe that they are less than us, then that will affect our behaviour towards those people. It will affect what we say and what we do. But today, I want to think about something slightly different. And the bottom line is this, okay? So see when I say, if you forget everything else I say, just remember this. This is the thing you need to remember, okay? And I've even put it up on the screen so that you can read it and hopefully not forget. Every human has inherent dignity because they are made in God's image. Fantastic ladies' conference in here yesterday. If you were at the ladies' conference, it was amazing. I was only here because I'm part of the band and I play the guitar, okay? And I did help in the background with some things. But it was amazing. And I think Dion was trying to steal my thunder for today. But human beings are made in the image of God. And when God said about creation it's good, he said about us, what he had created was very good. And I want to think about I want us to think about this today. Every human has inherent dignity because they are made in God's image. The people that are sitting around you today, made in God's image. The people that we like, the people that we don't like, the people that we agree with, the people that we don't agree with, the people we want to slap sometimes. Not that that would apply to anybody in here. All made in the image of God. And so, because we're made in God's image, we have inherent dignity and value. When we look at the news today, and it grieves us to look at the news, it grieves us to see how man treats other people. And to quote Burns, it was him that said, used that wee phrase, man's inhumanity to man. I thought that was in the Bible, hey, but it's not. It was Robert Burns all these years ago. We're all different, we're all unique, but we're created in God's image. And we tend to put up with our own faults and failures quite well. Maybe sometimes we don't. But we struggle to put up with other people's faults and failures. I wonder if we extended the same grace to others as we extend to ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. Let's be honest. If you're like me, you beat yourself up and say, slap in the back of the head, what an idiot. Right? But generally, we tend to let ourselves off the hook quite quickly, but we keep other people dangling on the end of the hook for a long time. And we need to remember these things. It talks about Jesus as being the image of God. In Colossians 1:15, it says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we read this, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God is at work in us to transform us so that we become people who reflect the image of God. I was thinking about this, the difference between, and I'm maybe going to summarize my message here because time's marching on, the difference between a picture and a mirror image, okay? Think about that for a little second. If somebody takes a picture of you and you look at that picture, all it's captured is one moment in time where you might have been on a good day and you might have been on a bad day. You ever take those photographs where you blink and it's like you look stupid in those photographs because your eyes are shut, it's like, yeah? So I take photographs all the time and sometimes it's really challenging to get good photographs of people. Bobby said, only some of you look good. I never said that, okay? I said everybody looked good, just to clarify. But if you look at a mirror, if you look at your reflection in a mirror, I was looking at myself in the mirror this morning while I was doing my hair and shaving and doing all that jazz, and it was always moving. As I was moving, the reflection was moving. And we're meant to be reflections. We're meant to be like mirrors so that when God's moving, people see God moving in us. It's meant to be a moving image, a real time image. And we thought last week about things that we think, things that we do. You know, the way we think about each other becomes very important. The things that we say to other people becomes very important. And the things that we do is also very important. Thoughts, words, and deeds is how we express ourselves. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read this. And God created the human in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's the Robert Alter translation of the Old Testament. There are just two distinct creative acts that are expanded upon in Genesis 2. God created male and God created female and endowed them with the ability to reproduce. We're not going to get into that today, even though the boys and girls have left, okay? I thought that would get a bit of a laugh, but there you go, I didn't. And this is reiterated in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "This is the written account of the descendants of Adam. When God created human beings, he made them to be like himself. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them human." Genesis 2, 7 says this, "Then the Lord God fashioned the human," and the word that's used there is Adam, or Adam, if you want to pronounce it properly. And this translation is quite interesting. It says, "Humus from the soil, Adama, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living creature." God fashioned the man out of the raw material of the earth. The term that's used there for creation is the word bara, which is an original creative act. God did something original and new when he created the human being. And then it goes on in chapter 2 to say that he fashioned the human being. Do you know, do you ever read the Bible and you think, can we not have a wee bit more information here, God? It's like, how did you do that? Did he just kind of wave his hand over the human being and it became a human being? Or what does it mean to be fashioned as a human? It's incredible. And then it says that God put the man into a deep sleep. This is the first anesthetic in the Bible. So God is not only a creator, he is he's somebody who puts somebody to sleep before they have an operation. I can't say that word today for some reason. So he puts the man to sleep and he takes a rib out of the man and he closes over the area with flesh. Why am I holding my left side? My right side? That's your left, my right. Okay, I get confused with this all the time, sorry. And he covers over it and it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, that he built the rib he had taken from the human into a woman. Wow. And he brought her to the human, brought her to the man. God created a man and he created a woman. Genesis chapter 1, in that chapter, the author refers to the plurality of creation, male and female, representing the image of God. There are some people that think it's just the man that represents the image of God. After all, we call him Father. After all, Jesus was a man. But the Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created a man, he created a woman, and we together represent the image of God. The woman was built. What did that look like? Give me more information, Lord. I can't wait to get to heaven so that I can ask all these questions. I've been storing them up. It's like, how did you do that? I just feel like I want more information. But what amazed me as I thought about this, and think about this, God is a spirit, an immaterial spirit who was embodied in a person, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that at Christmas time, that God is a spirit and spirit created matter. The spirit created matter. I think that's incredible. The spirit of God created things that we can touch and hold and feel and see. We can smell. Hopefully we've put on our deodorant that day. The spirit created matter. And if the Spirit can create matter, the Spirit can recreate matter. Do you know, sometimes we can begin to doubt, does God really heal today? Sometimes we pray for healing and God heals. Sometimes we pray for healing and God doesn't heal. And that's a mystery. But let's never forget, and let's never stop asking God to heal, because spirit in the beginning created matter, and spirit today can recreate matter. The Holy Spirit can recreate things in us that have gone wrong. And I think that's amazing. If you don't believe this, think back to the story in the Bible in the New Testament where Jesus was preaching to this massive crowd of people, and they were all starting to get hungry and get faint. And Jesus said, "Has anybody got any food?" And the disciples said, "Well, it's quite a long way to Asda today. I don't know that we'd be able to drive there and get back in time. And besides that, we don't have enough money to buy food for everybody because there's so many. How are we going to do this?" And this wee guy popped up with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was it 5 loaves and 2 fish? Yes, it was. So I was just thinking, have I got them the right way around? 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus fed 5,000 people plus with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Spirit of God created matter. And to the people who were there that day, it really mattered because they got fed. And there was enough left over to fill 12 basketfuls. Early morning rise today. And then it says that God brought the man to the woman. And this is what he says in verse 23. It says, "And the human said, 'This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for from man was this one taken.'" I think it's interesting that the Bible uses this language. If you read the Hebrew and the Scottish, especially if you're from the West, it's woman, right? God created a woman. And she was a bit of a stunner, by the way. Right? Different terms used to describe man and woman. And as you go on in the Bible, in this little section, it says this: "Therefore does a man leave his father and mother," he leaves the family home, "and cling to his wife." Notice it's singular, not plural. One's enough for me, thank you very much. I could only take one like Mary. And then it goes on to say, "and they become one flesh." It's a mystery. I'm still trying to get my head around that. "And the two of them were naked, the human and his woman." Right? "And they were not ashamed." It's incredible. God took something out of the man, built a woman, and then they came back together and they became husband and wife and they became one flesh and they were naked and they were not ashamed. What a beautiful picture. Let's not put it up on the screen, okay? But God created us to reflect his image. And if you think about it, because we are made in the image of God, we are co-regents with God. We get the opportunity to rule over the rest of creation. I sometimes wish I could be like Dr. Doolittle and talk to the birds. If you saw me out in my prayer walk, you'd be going, "That guy is cuckoo, right?" I'm trying to talk to the birds using wee noises. And when I see the horses down School Road in Longridge where I stay, I'm talking to the horses. And I'm sure they understand what I'm saying. That's incredible. I sometimes wish that I could coexist alongside the animals and they wouldn't be afraid of me. Unfortunately, they are. If they weren't afraid of me, I'd get great photographs. But I wouldn't need that long lens. It'd be like with my phone. Yes, your beauty. But we've been created to be stewards, to be co-regents along with God. We have the ability to create, to be creative. When you hear music today, it's because people have the ability to create that sound. And we have the ability collectively to create a sound that hopefully is pleasing to God. As somebody once said, it might come out all wrong, but it goes up all right. So it doesn't matter if you're out of tune. Get into the choir, okay? Well, maybe it does matter. What was I saying about matter? Spirit creating matter, okay? So we have the ability to create. We have the ability to love, to grieve, to experience emotions. We experience intimacy with other people, with God. We have a strong sense of justice, of right and wrong, especially when it's us that's been wronged. Have you ever noticed that? It's like, I'm going to slap you if you say that again. Have you ever said that? Or is it just me? Honest, I've never said that. Okay. Well, maybe I have. I can't remember. It's been such a long time now. We have a strong sense of justice, especially when it's us that's been wronged. And, like, I'm not joking about that. Behaviors and beliefs. Sometimes we behave in a way that's based on the fact that we have been wronged and other people are part of the problem, and we have our way of dealing with that problem based on our own belief system about other people and how they should treat us. We have a strong sense of justice, but we're also aware of awe, of wonder, of beauty. If you go out and you see the sunrise in the morning or the sunset at night, or you're in the middle of God's creation and you go, wow, this is amazing. We have the ability to reason and to think. The very fact that people say there is no God for X, Y, and Z reasons is because they've been endowed with the ability to think. God has given us the ability to think, and he's given us free will to use that ability in all sorts of different ways. And some people use it for good, and some people use it for bad, because we've lost sight of the image of God in other people. As male and female, we have the ability to create and to make in our likeness, in our image. And we are a reflection of our Creator. We mirror the Maker, or at least we should. When people look at us, they should see God in us. They should see Jesus in us. I wonder, do they always do that? And just to quote 2 Corinthians, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As we go on into Ephesians, we read in chapter 1, verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I don't know about you, I don't understand that. How God, since before the creation of the world, had us in his mind and chose us to be blameless and holy. It's a mystery. I don't understand it. Before God created anything, before the heavens and the earth were created, there was an intention in the mind of God that you would be here on this planet, on this day. Can't remember what the date is today. Wish I could have remembered the date. It would have been more impressive, but there you go. And then later on in this letter, Paul says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Listen to this again, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. Not just in the church, not just when we come together, but when we are scattered in all the places that God takes us, things that God has ordained before anything was created that you should do. Different translations for workmanship could be you're God's master's masterpiece. Another translation says you're God's poem. A poem that God has written that other people can read. People read our lives all the time. But what I want us to really remember today as we finish off, and it's the bottom line, every human has inherent dignity because they are created in the image of God, whether they annoy us and bug us or not. And maybe sometimes when we're annoying and bugging other people, it's because our mirrors need a wee bit of a polish. Okay? I polished the lectern this morning before I preached. I wanted it to be nice and shiny and clean. What about our lives? Are our lives shiny and clean, or do they need a little polish up? Are our thoughts, our words, and our deeds a reflection of the Creator, the person who created us, God who created us? I sometimes wonder why the church gets it wrong, and we can get it wrong so often. And I want to quote something that Ray said 10 years ago as he stood here in this church. Ray Stokes said this at the end of a prophetic word which he'd been given to the church. He says, this is a very simple message and a simple equation in God, but we as the people of God have the ability to mess it up every time. Isn't it so true? I am one of these people who expect everything to work just as it should. I'm an idealist. I think, this is how God's designed it to work. God, why isn't it working like that? Well, sometimes it's because we mess things up. Our mirrors get mucky and they need a clean. And we've stopped reflecting the glory of God. And as we finish today, I want us to just think this week about the way that we are living our lives. What are we thinking about week in and week out? What are we filling our minds with? And I want to encourage us to think about what we look at, what we fill our minds with, whether it's TV or on the internet, whether it's social media or whatever it is. We need to think about what we're filling our minds with. And is it helping us to realize that other people are made in the image of God? Think about the things that we say. Do we say things that are a reflection of the glory of God in our life? Can people listen to our words and then look up through the mirror of our lives and say, I can see God in your life? Through the things that we do, can people look at us and imagine the mirrors like that, okay? So if you're looking at a mirror, what are you going to be able to see? You're going to be able to see up there, okay? This is back to physics when we were in school, okay? If people are looking at us, the things that we think and say and do, can they see the glory of God reflected through our lives? And that's the challenge. And the challenge for us today and the application and the response is not a here and now response. This is something we need to go away and meditate on and pray about and say, Lord, are there things in my life that are marring your image, that are not allowing me to reflect your glory the way I should? And if there are, let's pray about those things. Let's ask God to just examine our hearts and to say, okay, I'm going to do something about that. I told you before, the last time I prayed that prayer at the end of Psalm 139, in fact, every time I pray that, God shows me something different, and I'm going to stop praying that prayer. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep praying that prayer. Why? Because I believe in God, a God who created everything we see, and I believe in the dignity of every human being, the inherent dignity of every human being, and I want my life to be able to reflect that and to think about the way that I treat other people, whether they're part of our church or not part of our church, whether they believe in God or they don't believe in God, whether they are of a different religion or no religion. How do I treat that person? Do I really believe that they have been created in God's image? Let's pray as we finish off our time together. Father, we read in your word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, that we are complex. We know that we're complex. Not only are our bodies complex, our minds are complex, our interactions with you and other people are complex. Father, sometimes it's hard to grasp the complexity of things. It's hard to grasp how we should think, what we should say, what we should do in certain circumstances. But Father, we pray that you would give us the wisdom of heaven to think about what we really believe and to think about how we behave as a result of that. And Lord, we thank you that we have been made in your image. Father, we thank you that you have endowed us with so many wonderful gifts and abilities and skills. And Father, you've given us an ability to hear the voice of God, to hear your voice, and to respond to that. And Father, we thank you that your Spirit lives within us and that you communicate to us. And Father, we pray, help us in everything that we say and do to seek you, Father, to seek to be polished mirrors that will reflect the image of God, that others can see Jesus in us. And so, Father, we pray, as we go out into this week and all that it holds, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would lead us, direct us, guide us. Father, that you would speak to us. May our hearts be open. And Father, we ask that you'd help us to polish our mirrors today. Father, help us to remember that every human being has inherent dignity because they are created in your image. Lord, help us to think about what we think and say and do. And Lord, may our lives bring glory to you. May our families bring glory to you. And Lord, may everyone in our families, our neighbors, our colleagues at work, see Jesus in us. And Father, we just pray for those who are in the workplace today, who will go out into difficult jobs, maybe some today, tomorrow. Father, we ask that you would strengthen every person in the workplace. Lord, I know how hard it can be to work in a place where we're surrounded by people who don't use words that we use, who don't talk about things that we would like to talk about, and who talk about things that we would not like to think about. And Lord, it's hard to keep ourselves pure in those environments. But Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be pure and to reflect your glory and your image in the workplace. Whether it's school, college, university, Father, wherever we find ourselves, in the home, in the shops that we go into week by week, with the people that we spend time with week by week, Father, may we reflect the image and the glory of God. May our lives be clean that we might reflect you. Father, help us to polish our mirrors. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.